to God Most High. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We praise your name. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you, Lord. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you adoration. Thank you that you are the Most High God that we can serve and that we can depend on. And you are here, O God. Blessed be your name. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. And I trust that God is keeping you well. And I believe that God is with us and he is continuing to watch over us, to sustain us and to be with us in everything that we do. He's a faithful God, he's mighty, he's gracious, and he is our Father. Amen. And just going ahead, we thank God, you know, for what we've been learning about just the character of God as a Father. Isn't that good?
Yeah.
You can hear us well? You can hear me well?
Yes, yes.
Okay, good, good, good. I was worried because it's raining. Okay, good. Yeah, so let's go ahead. And I was saying that we've been learning about God as a Father and just trying to understand the character of God and understand who he is and just having different dimensions of God and trying to know him. And I think that is all that Jesus aimed to reveal to us. Jesus aimed to reveal to us the Father. And he every time he will say that, my Father, I mean, if you've seen me, you've seen my Father. And his purpose was to reveal to us God, and not just God as the distant God, but God as the Father that loves us, God as the Father that is concerned for us, and God as the Father that he hears us. And for me today, I was just thinking of having a Father that hears us, having a Father that knows us, having a Father that knows our name, that is concerned for us, and that he is faithful. And I'm just thinking of, I was reflecting on Jesus when he went to raise Lazarus, and maybe we shall read about it in John chapter 11. And if we can open there, John chapter 11, by the grace of God, we should be able to pick some few lessons there and see what is this that Jesus, what is this kind of relationship that Jesus had, that he knew that he has a Father that hears, a Father that hears. And that tells us of who God is. You know, many times you'll feel that someone will be like, but we've been praying, we've been asking God, we have been crying out for this, we have been doing this and nothing happens. Everything still stays the same. And I mean, how long have we been in the wilderness? How long have we been in Egypt? You're thinking that, you know, the descendants of the Israelites when they were in Egypt, and they will cry out for 430 years. They were crying and crying and being tortured and, you know, living as slaves and be groaning under their taskmasters. And God says that I have seen their afflictions, I have heard their groaning, and I have come to send you to deliver them. And he tells Moses, I am sending you to them. So at times we might be thinking that that God does not hear us. But what if we have the understanding, or if we grow to the knowledge or to the level of belief that God always hears us? And this is the place where Jesus was at, and this is the place where Jesus had understanding of. And you can see that he has his friend, and you can see, we can start from John chapter 11. We'll just do a few parts, and then we'll go to where he raises up Lazarus from the dead. And John chapter 11, it says, now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment, and which wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. If we look at it in Amplified, it says, when Jesus received the message of the sickness, he said, this sickness is not to end in death, but on the contrary, it is to honor God and to promote his glory, that the Son of God may be glorified through by it. So he's saying that he encountered a situation where he is told that his friend is sick. And you can see how Jesus responds to bad situations, or how does he respond to sickness, or how does he respond to the situation of Lazarus. He just clearly speaks a word to that situation, and he says, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified in it thereby. And verse 5, it says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister Lazarus. Verse 6, when he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days in the same place where he was. And then after, he said to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. And his disciples said unto him, but Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and you go there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walks in the day, he stumbles not, because he sees the light of this world. But if a man walks in the night, he stumbles, because there is no light in him. These things he said, and after that he said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of the sleep. Verse 12, then his disciples, Lord, if he sleeps, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, that they thought, but they thought that he had spoken of taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes I was not there, to the intent that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. And the Bible says, verse 16, Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. Verse 17, then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now just let's paint that picture in our minds. And you're thinking that Jesus has this close friend. And the Bible tells us that from time to time, whenever Jesus was with them, when he visited them in Bethany, they will welcome him to his house. And that was the place where, as they were seated, as they were eating, Mary, who was the sister of Lazarus, came and poured out, you know, the ointment, the expensive ointment, and she washed Jesus' feet with her hair and with her tears and wiped them. And people were, you know, they were feeling indignant. And remember, what was his name? Judas was saying, why was this money wasted? So we can see there was a close relationship. His friend, his brother, he considered Lazarus a brother. He considered him a friend. And he gets word that your friend is sick. Your friend is unwell. And you see, you would expect that immediately Jesus would rise to go and rescue his friend and heal his friend. I mean, Jesus could have sent the word. Jesus could have just declared, no, he's healed. You know, I've sent the word. But you see, there are things that God already knew. Jesus already knew, and by virtue of the authority that he had, he declared that this sickness shall not end in death, but it shall be for the glory of God. This sickness is not unto death, and he said it. And this is one way that we must always confront situations that are contrary to the will of God. You just encounter something, or something goes wrong, and you must declare at that point that this situation shall not end in death. This currency or this economy shall not be for my destruction, or this land shall not be for my pain. You know, or this sickness shall not be unto death. There is something that Jesus declared, and he speaks it at that very point. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. Now, is it contrary? You can ask yourself, he speaks that it's not unto death, but then what happens is that Lazarus dies. And it's not that Jesus is not aware. At each and every point, Jesus has the understanding that Lazarus will die. And he stays 2 days. He's fully aware. He has had the call from the sisters to come. He has had, and he stays 2 more days, but he has already spoken the word, and the word is taking root. The word is running. And then he says, okay, after 2 days, let us go. And then they ask, like, but people are trying to kill you. He says, well, let us go and wake him up because Lazarus sleeps. So at this point, on the second day, Jesus already knew that Lazarus died. And when they went, he says, okay, we're going to wake him up. And so here they go. And then when they reach, what happens? The Bible tells us he had been in the grave for 4 days. What does that tell you? That tells you that it took 6 days from the time he had the message to the guy was died. He was buried because they buried immediately. Or maybe if they waited a day, okay, maybe add 1 day there. And then 4 days after that. So roughly between 6 to 7 days, depending on how long they took to bury, before Jesus reached Bethany. And it's not like Bethany was so far away. But there's something that Jesus Christ wanted to demonstrate to us. And this is a closeness of that relationship that he has with God, that he has a Father that always hears us. Now, I wanted to ask, is it that he just spoke and let it? No, but we see and we know the character of Christ is that he constantly was a man that lived in close communion with God. He was constantly in prayer. The Bible tells us that early in the morning, while it was still dark, he got up and went to a solitary place to pray. That means that there's something that Jesus will do in the background. There was a relationship that he established with the Father that he will continually be in prayer. He will continually be in the place of fellowship with God. And that's why he tells them that, let us go and wake him. He sleeps. So you can see to God, there is a realm where even death is just seen as sleep. As believers, we don't die, we just sleep. And he says, I am going to wake him up. They don't understand, but he says, I am going to wake him up. Now, it says that verse 18, Bethany was near Jerusalem, only about 2 miles away. What does that tell you? It was so close. 2 miles is like, I mean, for those who have kilometers, it's less than 2 kilometers. It was just 2 kilometers away, and he delayed as long as possible. He desired so that the glory of God might be seen. You see, then it says, verse 19, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Verse 20, Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went to him and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, whatsoever you will ask of God, God will give it to you. Look at the difference of the faith of Martha. She's like, Lord, I know if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, these are the things that were moving Jesus, that even now, I know whatsoever thou ask. Martha already was wondering, okay, yes, if you had been here, he would not have died. Yes. But there's a place where I know that even now, and this is the place where we need to understand, there's a time where things might have gone wrong. Things might be looking like they're not moving forward. But I tell you, even now, if you will ask of God, God will give it to you. And this is the declaration that Martha had. And it said, but whatsoever I know that even now, whatsoever thou will ask of God, God will give it to thee. And Jesus answered unto her, your brother shall rise again. I love how Jesus speaks. he speaks with the faith, with the assurance that he has a father that hears, a father that has confirmed, a father that affirms him, and he knows for a certain that Lazarus is asleep, because to him, what is death? He has already conquered death. He is the resurrection and the life. And Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. Ah, that which is dead, that which looks like it's gone, that which things that you've tried and it's failed, you've tried again and again and it's failed, you've tried, it looks like it's the end, it looks like the you know, those who have credited you are coming to take all their property, it looks like you're losing the land, it looks like you're losing the business, it looks like you're losing your job. Jesus said that, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, even though he were dead, shall still live. There is a place that you must get to God, that even if whatever you're going through right now looks like it is dead, looks like it has come to an end, looks like there is no hope, there is a place in God where we get to the faith that even that which is dead, God can resurrect. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Believe thou this? And then she said, yes, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which will come into this world. And she went and called her sister Mary, secretly saying, the Master is come and he calls for you. So verse 29, as soon as she heard this, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus, who had not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. Now the Jews which were then with her in the house and had comforted her, when they saw that Mary rose up hastily and went out, they followed her, saying, maybe she's going to the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come to where Jesus was, and she saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit. And I want you to picture that. That groaning in the spirit was a prayer. You know, at times you can be in prayer and you find that it is not even words that are coming forth. Remember, the Bible says he intercedes with us with groans that words cannot express. This was a prayer that Christ was making through him, and he was crying out to God earnestly in his spirit. And the Bible says he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? Then they said unto him, Lord, come and see. John chapter 11. He said, then Jesus wept. Then they said to the Jews, behold how he loved him. Verse 37, and some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Verse 38, Jesus again groaning in himself. Look at how it's like inside him, he was feeling the Spirit of God and he was feeling the presence of the Holy Spirit. He was praying within him. He could feel the sensations of God. He could feel that groaning within him. It's like a sign that it wasn't external to the people. People could not see him pray, but within him, he knew that he was contending with God. He was pleading with God. He was crying out to God. Groaning in himself, he comes to the grave and says, the Bible says, it was a cave and a stone was laid upon it. And then Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinks, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, said I not thou that if thou believe, you will see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Verse 42, and I knew that thou hearest me always, because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou had sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Think of it. I'm just thinking right now, God gives you a word that maybe in the neighborhood, or just in church, you're preaching, or you're in church and people bring this casket to you. And or in a crusade, you've put in the crusades, the lame will walk, the blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will be raised. And when you're preaching, what they do, they decided to bring a casket of someone who has died. And they say, you always say that your God raises the dead. Here is the dead person to raise. You can think this is the time Jesus, all the crowd was there. Everyone was there. Everyone at every point could know who was going to say this is a fake prophet. Remember Israel at that time, if you say something is to come and it does not come to pass, you are considered a fake prophet and you are supposed to be killed. And so it's like he's putting his reputation on the line. You can imagine someone has been in the grave 4 days. He started to rot. He started to stink. That means he's telling us, Martha is telling us that by now he's stinking. That means that the body has begun to rot. It becomes, you know how the body decomposes. It swells fast. You can imagine if you've seen a dog that has died on the road, you'll see first it swells and bursts, you know, as the worms are working, and then the air, you know, the ammonium, the everything, as they're destroying that, then everything comes down. The meat finishes, and then the skin is the last, and then you remain with the bones, and eventually the bones dry. So, but in this point, everything, he was already in the grave. So Lazarus is not like Lazarus was just, it was a fake or a staged thing. It is something that he was in the grave for 4 days. But he says, roll away the stone. How many of us can have the courage or the faith to do that in front of people? You can see nowadays how everyone is ready with a phone. In fact, when you start to pray for a sick man or a cripple, everyone is ready with a phone and a camera. Let us see if this person will wake up. But you see, there is something that Jesus knew. There's a secret that Jesus knew, that as he prayed, as he groaned in spirit, as he had spoken, as he had spent time with God, as he knew a point where God had heard him. He knew that this prayer is answered. He had the assurance that God has answered. And that is how we must always pray. It is not just praying and knowing that, I know my Father always hears. It is praying and knowing within you, and having a sign, having a confirmation in your spirit. You can see that Jesus was groaning in his spirit. And after he had groaned, then he said, take me to where they have laid him. There is a place in your prayer. There is a depth in your prayer that you must be committed to pray, that until you get to a place where you have an answer. And you will know it. Either you will sense the peace of God, or you will receive a word of God that answers that, or there is something that you will know, or a sensation, or something that God through his spirit will communicate to you that he has heard you. And when he has heard you, the next thing that you need to do is to move forward and speak in faith and call the things that are not as if they were. And this is Jesus calling the things that are not, calling that man which is dead. You see, he does not say dead man. He does not say body. But he calls the man. He calls the man Lazarus. Because to him, Lazarus, even though he is a body, even though people will call him the late, It says Lazarus. And Lazarus has to hear. Why? Because he said, I am the resurrection and the life. Even that which is dead can hear. It has a voice. That body that was dead had a voice, has a name, and it had the name of Christ. And this happens when we have prayed, when we have heard God, and when we believe that God hears us. And he says, Father, I thank you that thou hast heard me. And then what does he say? For I know that thou always hears me. Can we have a relationship with God that we know, that we have the assurance, we have the confidence that this Father that we pray to, he always hears us. Even when he delayed, when he received the message that Lazarus was sick, had he not heard? No, he had heard. So for us, at times we think of delay as, oh, God is slow, or God does not understand. But you see, to God, he has heard us. And he says, Father, I thank you that thou always hears me. At times I have this experience where I think of something, you know, and I'm just like, oh, it would be nice to have this, you know. And just in some days or two, someone just brings the very thing that it was just like a desire that you thought of. It's not that you really wanted, but you're like, oh, maybe it would be nice to have this. And you see, God hears that. Psalms 37 verse 4 tells us that delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall grant you the desires of your heart. There's a version that says he shall fulfill the secret longings of your heart. There is a place where in the closeness of your relationship with God that even he picks those thoughts in you, those desires, those unspoken things that you think, ah, it's just a wish. And he hears us. And that is a place where it now warns us. We get to that place of responsibility where even our thoughts, where even our desires, we ask God to sanctify them, that we shall just think thoughts that are in line with his will. We shall have the desires of God. We shall have the longings of God. That we shall be thinking of the things that are of God. And this is the closeness that Jesus had with his Father. And that's why he could just say, Father, I know that you always hear me. And he just tells them, roll the stone. Roll it away. Move it away. Bring that cripple from behind. Bring that cripple. Now, rise up and walk. Dead man, Lazarus, rise up and come forth. And the Bible says, and he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot, and with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto him, let him go. Now, just as I finish, think of how the Jews will tie up a dead body. They will tie it up properly. And then on top of that, they will put a napkin over the face, over his face. So their burial was such that the body could not, in fact, to them, it was more of a way of making sure this person does not live, does not leave that place. He cannot come out, right? So they tie properly. So the force that resurrected Lazarus not only got him out, brought back his spirit, but also brought him from the mouth of the cave, from inside the cave into the mouth of the cave, because at that point I don't think there was anyone who was going willing to go inside. And he came out and he said, untie him. That means the man could not even untie himself. And think of this napkin that was on his face. Remember, when Jesus was resurrected, the Bible says that the grave clothes were still lying and the napkin that was on his head was folded. That is another mystery. Something that tells us that Jesus himself got out, folded that napkin, and put it on his side, and telling them that I am coming back again. We can touch that on another day. But can we have the responsibility that we have a Father who always hears us? He hears our thoughts. He hears our cries. He hears our prayers. He sees our afflictions. He sees our pain. And when we pray to him, when we cry out to him, have the faith, have the mind, have the confidence, have the assurance that He always hears us. And when He has heard us, and when we know we have received the answer, speak in faith, move in faith, move ahead. And I know that God will minister to us. So, you, my brother, you're welcome. You're good? Okay, good, good. Okay, thank you for God's word. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father and Lord, I thank you. I thank you that you always hear us. And you always hear me, oh God. You hear my heart. You hear my thoughts. You hear my prayers. And I thank you for them that are listening, oh God. Them that have lost faith. Them that are looking at situations that are dead, that are broken, marriages that are broken, children that are sick and unwell, that are not coming back, oh God, children that are lost, that have been situations that are dead, businesses that are dead, jobs that have been lost, oh God, but you are a God that calls the things that are not as if they were, oh God. Father, this morning, this time, we speak life. We speak life in a special way, oh God. We declare life and hope and peace, oh God. We declare healing, oh God. We declare resurrection, oh God. The Lord, you're raising up the dead. You're raising up the things that are gone. You're raising up dreams and desires that are no longer in existence, oh God. You're bringing them forth, oh God, because you are the resurrection and the life, oh God. Indeed, death has no power. Death lost its sting, oh God. And Father, we declare life. We proclaim life, oh God. We proclaim life this morning, oh God. We declare life, oh God. And we speak, oh God, the words that you've given us, they are spirit and they are life. And Father, with confidence, we declare healing, oh God. We declare life, oh God. We declare breakthrough, oh God. We declare resurrection, oh God. Because nothing is impossible with you, oh God. And you're a God that answers prayer. And I thank you that as we continue to delight in you, oh God, as we continue to enjoy your presence, as we continue to walk with you in truth, oh God, thank you that you always fulfill even the secret longings of our hearts, oh God. Fulfill our hearts' desires. Walk with us. Give us grace for the day. Give us confidence for the day. Give us assurance and purpose for the day. We honor you, we adore you, and we give you glory. In Jesus' name, we pray and believe. Amen. Amen. Have a blessed day. Amen. God bless.